This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland, in my humble abode from the podcast chair just across from the high-definition TV where I had the privilege to enjoy some damn fine hockey earlier this week. And to break it all down with you is the hopefully not dying mermaid.
Yeah, of course. Like, I go the whole day without having to cough or do anything, and then as soon as the mic goes on, it's like, how about now? How about that pollen itch in your throat?
it's the telltale signs of spring. You know, pollen, freshly mown grass. Mm-hmm. Rain. Mm-hmm. And Washington Capitals playoff hockey.
Fuck yeah. Most important. Most important on that list.
With the bonus of no Pittsburgh Penguins playoff hockey.
God, I fucking love it. Like, legit love it. And then I'd love Boston to get out and then the Kings.
I kind of almost hate to throw that dig in there. That's probably the only one, but considering what happened and the reaction, you kind of have to.
Kind of have to what?
Kind of had to, throw that in there because.
Oh, about the Pens?
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
So.
100%. And by the way, happy 420, Gil.
Oh, yes, of course. Not that I partake, but certainly if you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, do. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing against that.
Nope.
Especially if you are in a municipality that where it is legalized. You might be hearing my cat in the background howling his approval as well. Even though
or
I
sending
just,
messages to my dog,
or I he could be, yeah. Or even though I just fed him,
doesn't matter.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into it. So when we left you last, our Washington Capitals were in a very precarious position, though they technically held the number one wild card spot. Made even more precarious by the fact that in recent games, they had suffered some injuries and or one at least, one very dire one to Nick Jensen, though they had won that game. But they still managed to hang on to the last remaining wild card spot. So, That's where they were, and they had control of their own destiny, as they say, which is kind of misnomer. Control your own destiny. Yeah. I mean, as teachers, that kind of strikes us funny, because if it's destiny, how do you have control over it?
Exactly.
But that's the turn of phrase. That's what they call it. That's what they say in the sports world. So. All the Caps had to do was win their both of their remaining games Monday against Philly or Monday against Boston rather, and Tuesday, 24 hours later against Philly. And yeah, the schedule makers continue to do us no favors. But again, that's just how it happens, how it breaks down. So with one seat on the plane left, let's just jump right into it, break it all down. Let's break out the dogs and Valvoline. Game number 81 against the Boston Bruins on tax day, 4/15/24. This was going to be pretty important, pretty damned important. Now, I preface this by saying it was not as important to the Bruins, perhaps. And it could be said that they did not play like it. Certainly did not play like it wasn't as important to them. Okay. Or they were just that bad. But the Bruins ended up launching only 16 shots on goal.
Mm-hmm. Which is rare.
And I'm happy to say that none of them got past Charlie Lindgren.
Right.
And since the game's long over, we can say it, rhymes with butt snout. Shutout. Caps winning 2-0. Both goals scored in the first and last period. First goal scored by John Carlson, hits double digits again for his career. I think that's like the ninth time.
I love it. Double 74. Goal.
Yeah. And that is the game in Tampa, he broke the record for most goals by Caps defenseman. So this adds to that. Strom and Tom Wilson on the assists for that one, 12 minutes into the second period, or first period, rather. No goals in the second period. And then Nick Dowd, this one was sweetest of all. did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Nick Dowd scored the empty netter, making it a magical McNugget-minute goal. At 1947, even strength empty net, as noted by the wonderful app. But this was, this is worthy of the replay, even though I don't need it. I remember it clear as day. So the puck was cleared into the Bruins zone. Brad Marchand, of all people, carries it out in front of his net, 10 feet in front of his net, tries to break out of the zone. Nick Dowd is all over him, then strips him of the puck, turns it around, and puts it away.
Brilliant.
And I think totally brilliant. And the best way to describe it, I think, is the way I described it on another podcast, Sacrum's Capitals Off the Chain. That is, he stole the rat's cheese, basically.
Yeah. Oh my God. How much people just freaking hate Marchand. I mean, I do. So there is that little, like, those bittersweet moments where you're like, I love it.
Had to love it. Great way to end the game. Caps would end up with 25 shots on goal on this one. And let's see. So again, it could be said that the Bruins were taking something of a mini vacation. It could kind of also be said that the refs were taking something of a mini vacation. Only one penalty was called.
Which, between these two, considering who's on their team, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie McAvoy is not going to... He's not going to back down. And
neither is Marchand, neither is Carlo, neither are a whole lot of people on that team.
Yeah.
But in the end, all that matters is getting the W that they got. Now, some notes that were made, very interesting. Make of these what you will. This was the second time and only the second time the Bruins were shut out this season. This 2024 season. And this was the only time they were held to, I believe it was under 20 shots on goal. Both times it was by the Washington Capitals. Both times it was Charlie Lindgren shutting them out.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it that much more.
Gotta love it. So, thank you, Bruins, if indeed you did take it easy. And thank you, Caps, for winning this game, because honestly, this was, out of the two games that remained, probably this one was on paper looking like the toughest. So that moves us on to the next one, the final one, game numero 82. This was the big one. Caps absolutely had to win this, because if they lost in regulation, then I'm pretty sure that was it for them. They lost in regulation, that being the key, pardon me. Had they lost in overtime, there were lots of different scenarios that would have had to have played out, some of which that would not have played out until Wednesday, when the Penguins played. As it happened, that never came into play. But an interesting wrinkle to all this was the fact that the Flyers had to win this game in regulation to have even a shot at finishing in the second wild card spot.
Right.
Much was made of this again, that lent itself to a scenario where if the game was tied and or close, the Flyers would be very likely pulling their goalie late in the game.
Yep.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what happened. So let us go ahead and break it down. Opening the scoring at 18 minutes and 8 seconds into the first period. Who else? You got a big game. Who else you going to call on? El Capitano himself, Mr. Alex Ovechkin, 31st of the year, taps it in on a Dylan McIlrath point shot, bounces off his stick, and he McIlrath, received his pass from TJ Oshie. So he gets the secondary. So that officially opened the scoring. Now, very scary moment sometime before that. And I mean, reach for your adult diapers, undergarments, scary type of moment where it looked like the Flyers would be the ones taking the lead. I forget who launched the shot. I think it was Owen Tippett. But there was a shot from, I believe, the top of the left circle. And what happened was it hit Charlie Lindgren. And he made a move. He made a pose like he had captured it with his body. Right. When in reality, the puck went about, 100 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And did not come down for, I want to say, at least two Mississippis. And boink, boink, boink into the net. But fortunately, the referees had blown the whistle, because they were led to believe that Lindgren had control of the puck and in any case had lost sight of it. That is the rule. You lose sight of it, blow the whistle, play is dead. Mm-hmm. Well, not exactly. That's not exactly the rule anymore. And if you remember the game in Dallas, the Caps were the beneficiaries of this very same rule. And thus, we went to the ever-popular judges in Toronto, the replay, the war room. You know how that's turned out so far this year, for the most part.
Not nice.
Yeah. As I said, reach for your Depends undergarments, reach for your heart medication, anything to keep you calm. Too bad this wasn't on 420. You would have needed that too. But fortunately, it was ruled in the Caps' favor in that despite the fact that the whistle blew, the play was, one, ruled to be a continuation, but two, ruled that that continuation had ended because the shot had hit another Flyers player, thus ending the shot attempt.
Ooh.
That's the rule. That's what they said. Word for word, almost, when the referees announced it. So the shot was launched, and apparently between the time that it was launched and the time it went into the net, it hit another Flyers player. So that stops the shot. That technically stops the shot attempt and stops the continuation, because had it not, then it would have been a goal, because this is this rule. I forget when it was implemented, but when it was to cover the fact that sometimes referees can, I don't know, make mistakes in judgment in blowing a play dead too soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this rule was put in place. And unfortunately, this week I don't have the exact rule from the rule book. I will hunt that down for you when and if I can.
Please do.
But it is codified.
It
is codified, and it does mention that should the whistle be blown prematurely and the continuation results in the puck in the net over the goal line, then it counts. But as I said, that did not happen here because the continuation stopped when it hit that other Flyers player. Thus, no goal. So,
and you have to say it like with the dramatic Wes McCauley call, not that he called it, but how he would have called it.
Well,
we're all waiting. And then, you know, he knows that everyone's, you know, just on edge, and then he's no goal.
Well, I'm kind of glad, because Wes McCauley used to be one of the best.
I'm just saying for his theatrics, not.
I know. I get it. But it was either Kelly Sutherland or Eric Furlatt this time. And they explained it. So again, no goal. Thankfully we can all breathe again. And, play continued up until the point where Alex Ovechkin scored his goal, 18:08. So Caps had a one goal lead until, and you kind of knew, as much as we were all hoping, you kind of knew the Flyers would have some punch, have some fight.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Johnson, his fifth, the former Sabre and Avalanche. Zamula and Sean Couturier on the assist at 12:29 in the second. Even strength goal. So from that point on out, nail biting, sandwich eating, sphincter tightening, alcohol inducing.
Mm-hmm. F-bomb dropping.
Insert nerve-wracking adjective here. Yeah, for quite a while. I love this team, but they have a way of, for crying out loud, they remind me of the year the Ravens last won the Super Bowl. They just cannot make anything easy on themselves.
Right.
Cannot.
Well, who was, I don't even know who it was, if it was on our Facebook page. Somebody was like, that's why we call them the cardiac Caps.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Like, and this, you know, and I used to like, you know, read some of these names, be like, whatever. But then I like, that sort of resonated where I'm like, there's a little bit of truth in that. Cause there's a lot of us that, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to hope for the best and you just want to watch it and just hope it's going to be, you know, no injuries. You hope it's going to be a good, solid 60 minutes. You can't just sit there, sit back and take it easy, because you're just like, holy shit, like, let's go. And then like, what's going to happen and who's going to fuck up or not fuck up. And, you know, all the scenarios go in through your head. So this was all of, well, not all of the things that you mentioned, but a good portion of them.
That's a damn good way of describing it. I can only add to it by saying this. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Armageddon?
Yes.
With Bruce Willis. Okay. So you know the part
where I saw it because of Ben Affleck, but yeah.
Boy, okay, cool.
Totally kidding.
But you remember the part where they're getting all strapped in?
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy is like, I'm really excited about this mission. But I'm also scared at the same time. And he's like, well, I'm 98% excited, 2% scared. And then he thinks about it for a second, like, well, maybe it's 98% scared, 2% excited.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he thinks about it some more and he says, well, that's what makes it so intense.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Teepees, wigwams, teepees, wigwam. We were all intense after this one. But this one, it had to end somehow. And the scenario that I mentioned where the Flyers had to win in regulation finally played itself out, finally reared its head with exactly 5 minutes, well, just above 5 minutes remaining in this game. So the game was tied. If it went into overtime, that would have done the Flyers absolutely no good. They had to win within the 60 minutes, meaning they had to go for it. They had to go for the goal, which means 6-on-5 play. So 5.5 minutes or so remaining in the game, John Tortorella makes the fateful decision to pull his goalie, Sam Ersson, and about 30 or 40 seconds later, there's a clear. Nick Dowd, who else, clears it. And it lands on the stick of TJ Oshie. Or what? You know what? Let's go ahead and play it. Let's go ahead and describe it accurately. We're following along in the app. And we're playing the replay. And we're waiting for the damn commercial to finish. All right, so Flyers, yes. Okay, so I was more or less right. Nick Dowd cleared it. It actually hit the chest of the Flyers defenseman, and then TJ Oshie picked it up. He got around the defenseman, who ends up falling down, and TJ Oshie fires it on the far side, far post, at 17 minutes, exactly.
Gorgeous.
Even strength, empty net goal. And that would be the last goal in a Washington Capitals regular season game. And as furiously as they fought, Flyers could not even equalize, thus ended the game and the season. Caps are in the playoffs, baby.
Yeah, they are. And how great is it with our last show, how much we talked about that vibe that number 77 has on the ice, and man, is he just outstanding those last two games. And I'm just glad, either way, I'm just glad that he is in the locker room with those guys, prior to puck drop tomorrow. We'll see what happens moving forward, but God, I just love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it.
Absolutely. And speaking of Oshie and his vibe, well, I don't know. Did you see the video of them in the locker room afterward?
And I saw it with Carberry's speech.
Well, so that one, and I think it was before this happened, before the game started. They were getting dressed for the game, and they were singing that song Talladega.
Right. Oh, yes, I did. No, well, I just saw a short little thing, but yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, it was a 10-second clip, but yeah, they were singing that song. So I want to take this time to do a little self-serving promotion here. So you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you, if you are in the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, District of Columbia, or wherever the hell you are. We've got fans and listeners in the UK. We've got listeners in Belgium, as I understand it, in Germany, and of course, north of the 49th parallel, the great country of Canada. Wherever you are, make your presence known. If you go onto social media, be it whatever medium, I don't care. Mention these hashtags that I want spread like wildfire. Hashtag no quit caps. That's caps with a capital C, of course. Hashtag caps with a capital C, band of brothers, all one word. These are all one word. Hashtag Talladega baby. Throw out those handles, those hashtags, wherever you are when you make a caps post. And we will know you are a loyal listener of the Power Play Point podcast.
Are these yours?
I just made these up, yeah.
Like the no quit caps and the band of brothers?
Yep.
I mean, I saw it on our Facebook page, but I wasn't sure if that was you or if
I
you.
I made these up.
All right.
And if there's someone who wants to lay claim to it, I didn't see it. As far as my mind, these were created by me in my mind. Someone else wants to lay claim to it, that's fine. But I didn't get it from anybody. These came from within.
Okay. But not really. No, I want my own.
Well, I'm sure given enough.
Let me think about it.
Something time and space, you can and will come up with your own. So
I will.
Please do.
And it won't be a commando joke. Although I may need to bring it back because that worked in 2018. But I've gone commando since and not so much. But now I'm like, all right, maybe it comes back. Maybe not. Maybe I've matured. Probably not. But yeah, I'll think of something.
We might have, well, I say we, like I'm in your sock drawer and picking out what not to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you might just have to break that out again or not break it out again.
I'm just going to continue because we've talked about this before.
Yeah,
hate wearing socks true. And yep, underwear is always optional.
Very true.
Not at work. I am professional during the day, but like when I get home, it's like done.
And so a little bit more self-serving here. I mentioned the vibe that this created, and let's just say there was some shade thrown, a lot of spewing of the hate because of the way, and yes, we're fully aware of the situation where. That at the time when John Tortorella decided to pull his goalie, the Flyers were actually eliminated anyway. We're aware of that. Yes, we know. So technically, he didn't have to do it.
Thanks, George.
Yeah, thank you. Lay out your conspiracy theories. We don't care. We don't give a flying big fuck at all.
We don't give a Flyers fuck. How about that?
Yeah, that too. I never laughed so much in a day, but the day after the Wednesday after I spent all day on Twitter laughing at all of the, it was mostly Penguins fans. A few, I get the Wings fans. I get the Red Wings fans. I get why they were, you know, I totally get that because they can actually lay claim to being screwed here in a sense. I kind of get that. And I'm good friends with a couple of, one's actually my family, my cousin, and I'm good friends with another. Those two didn't complain too much, but they were not too happy with it. I kind of don't blame them.
I get it. I mean, it's not going to be any different than, if we were in their shoes, it is like we can't sit back and laugh. I personally don't read those messages and get into that because then it just infuriates me and people are jerks. And so I'd rather just be, I'm going to keep with the happy caps vibe. Maybe that'll be my hashtag.
There you go. There's something. But and shout out, I don't know if she's listening. I doubt she is. We met. I forgot to mention this last week when we had the get together. Met a great person, Anna Marie Novak. She's a Wings fan, lives in the area, Red Wings fan. Lorenzo was getting on her good side because for some reason he's got ties to Detroit, but he was cheering for the Wings real hard in their game against Toronto. She noticed our group and that we were Caps fans and we loved hockey and, you know, and Lorenzo and Will Bagas and Marcus and all, we were, you know, talking up the doing another get together. And she's like, hey, you seem like a great bunch of guys. I mean, how do I find out, you know, when you're going to do this again? And they were telling, well, you know, we don't often mix with other teams, but we have a reputation as being, you know, one of the better behaved groups, more civil, more, you know, inclusive groups as far as hockey discussion. And, you know, that does include other teams at times. And she's like, yeah, I mean, let me know when you have something like this again. I'd like to be involved, which is awesome. Considering
that.
Yeah, here she is with another team. And one of these days, if I get enough nerve, the piss off doesn't, you know, wears down a bit. Because I, again, Wings fans, I hear you. I get it. But yeah, she doesn't do much on social media other than Twitter. So I got her Twitter handle and she's like, yeah, contact me when next time you have one of these again. And I'd love to be a part of it. So Anna Marie,
awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so
very
much.
Cool.
For that. Very cool. Just want to give her a quick little shout out. But I mean, I've never laughed so much in my life. All of the bad from, like I said, mostly Penguins fans. My God, I just, the saltiness from this group, from this bunch, could have filled a giant tub full of Orville Redenbacher's finest. Yeah. If you get what I mean.
But again, there's a lot of there. 100%, you know that if the tables were turned, the saltiness on the Caps end would be up there as well.
Oh, I totally get it.
So now
we're just in a
position right now. Honestly, like I'm going into this playoffs like, cool. I'm proud of these boys. I'm proud to be a fan. I'm proud of everything that they've overcome. And let's just fucking go. And like I'm going to have fun with the playoffs because they need to have fun with the playoffs so that we don't overthink, overplay, or make stupid plays. And I don't know if you, I think I've asked you this before and I want to say your answer was no, but DC 101, Elliot Morning is and has been a diehard Caps fan.
Oh, yeah.
Forever. We all know that. And when I moved here and my brother was like, okay, if you're looking for a good alternative station, you know, this is what you should listen to. And he would have Ovechkin on this, like, in, you know, God, almost 20 years ago, when Alex could like not speak English and still, you know, it was, and he was young and it was like, oh my God, but he has remained faithful to them. And I appreciate that. Well, you had Tom Wilson on Thursday morning and to listen to Tom, you know, answer the questions and say what he feels about the locker room vibe and going into this playoffs, everything that came back, the like summary, if you had to say, was like you said, band of brothers, and that chemistry and that connection of them within the locker room, and
yeah.
How, you know, it's vets and it's, you know, new guys and the balance and the respect and that, you know, they're just out there to do it. And it's clicking. And that's like all the stuff that we want to hear. He did not come into this as cocky. He didn't come into this as, are we going to take it? Like, he was just like, hey, yeah, I'm like, shit, we didn't think we'd make it this far and we did. So let's just see what happens. And that's how I am. I'm like, oh my God, like, let's just see what happens. Because if I start to look at the schedule of possibilities of who we could be up against, that can give you a little bit of anxiety. But it was a great interview. And of course, it's, you know, it talks about how, you know, he's 30 and married and has a kid on the way. So, you know, like, he's the older guy. And he was very funny to just point out that the biggest change in the locker room is, you know, when those guys are in there, the younger guys, it's a lot louder. And he said, but it's also their excitement for some of them having their first NHL goal or game or hat trick or whatever. He's like, you know, you don't forget that ever. And so when they're excited and that stuff's happening, it, you know, it's contagious. And I just loved it. I mean, not just because it's my Tommy, it's a part of it. But just to hear how kind of like relaxed he was and well aware that, you know, he's going into MSG as the most hated player. And he knows, like, he knows everything he's getting himself into tomorrow at 3:00, and he embraces it. And I'm just like, fuck yeah. Let's just keep that vibe going. And I love that Carberry is not like a Torts hothead, and he's not like fucking Brind'Amour. Like, he's just, I don't know. I don't know, Gil.
But he's also, you know what he also, he's, is as well. He's also not one of these perpetual coach speak mode type, you know, when he's frustrated, he'll say it.
Oh, absolutely.
And he'll say whatever's on his mind. Now, he might nuance it a bit. And sometimes maybe he says a little too much.
Right.
But
it
not,
shows a human side to him, yeah. that it's like, I mean, it's like how the fans are. I mean, you know, if we were like, oh, it's okay that we lost. No, we're going to have emotion and we're going to be like, what the fuck? And have our own little, you know, couch coach moments and want to be pissed and walk away from the team for a few minutes or so. But then when you come back and, you know, you can get rallied. So, you know, he's human. He has those emotions. He's a young coach. I will take his demeanor over fucking a Brind'Amour any day. I hate that guy. But anyways, so yeah, I think this Tom Wilson interview was really, I don't know. I just like was listening to it like in the kitchen. I got in the car and listened to just everything he had to say. And I was like, this is it. This is like, he's in a good headspace, and that is going to be obvious, and it's going to be contagious. And then they're going to throw an Osh vibe in there and, you know, Lindgren's in a good, you know, like, let's go. Let's do this. I'm like all excited. So yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And considering what all they had to go through. Okay. So going back to, I mean, look, Pens fans, and none of you are listening, so I don't really care, but all of you fans that want to throw shade at the Caps, all your salt, you know, I'm going to throw some salt back. Enough that Mermaid, you're going to think you're back at the beach here, but you all can suck it, because I don't care. We Caps fans, we don't care. We weren't supposed to be here. You people, the experts, the pundits, the writers, all the talking heads, we weren't supposed to be here. But we're here.
But we are.
We're like a bad horror movie character. You can't kill us. Not yet, anyway. Unless we drown in a lake or something. I don't know. But we're still
come back. So
until
come
we come back for the sequel.
Yeah. So here we are.
But
and that's just it, though. But like, but isn't, wouldn't you, and I don't even want to say, like, but I will, because I don't, because I know Bruins fans aren't listening either. when they had, you know, this perfect record and whatever, and then they choked. And you know, it was like, oh, Bruins are going to take it. Look at the preseason, you know, record. They're going to, and they didn't. And could it happen again? Maybe. Let's hope. But when you have the team that like everyone counted out, and I said this last week and probably said it, you know, the week before, Dylan Strome flat out was like, listen, there's a lot of people who counted us out who were ready to just be like, you know, their season's done and we're not. And I love that. And it's like, okay, well, we didn't expect to get this far. I'm sure if you and I went back to episode one of this season and then episode 40, where we're like, hey, listen, they're rebuilding, and they've, you know, this and this and this. But we never backed down. We didn't ever support. We were just like, hey, this is what's going to happen if they're not likely to make the playoffs. And you know what? Here we are. And if it doesn't go past this first round, I don't fucking care, because I am so fucking proud of these guys. And I mean, of course I care, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I'm not going to be burning a jersey or something like some asshole friend fans do when they're, their team. I mean, those people are stupid. So yeah. Awesome. 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 Awesome.
It was Grant Paulson, I believe, who on Twitter recounted all of the adversity, all of the bad things just happening this year. Now, I don't have that list in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase with emphasis on what all happened in the last few weeks. Okay, so to start the season, you had new coach, brand new coach, new to the league, new power play specialist. You had the question marks with Backstrom. How many games would he play? He ends up going on long-term IR. You had Ovechkin and his extended goal drought. Mm-hmm. You had Kuznetsov, who continued to have his problems. He ends up going to player assistance and getting traded. And then they trade. Mantha has his comeback season, only for him to get traded. Mm-hmm. And then we go into the stretch run. Oshie continues to have his injury problems. Then Nick Jensen gets hurt. No penalty. No discipline. Then Beck Malenstein gets hit in the Boston game. Yeah, I see you, Trent Frederick. I saw it. Mm-hmm. Fucking refs didn't see it. I saw it. I counted two Mississippis, and then you clonked him in the head, you a-hole dickhead. I saw it. Why didn't the refs? I don't know. Put a striped shirt on me and pay me. But anyway, so Malenstein gets hurt. He's questionable for the Philly game. How he made it back, I don't know. And they have to play to end it all. They have to play 24 hours later because the fucking schedule makers have a fucking hard on for this team. I don't know why. I'd love to research it. If I had time, I'd research it. I think the Caps led the league in back-to-backs.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Fucking ridiculous. Anyway, 24 hours later, they got to play for their playoff lives and they win. So don't bitch to me about Tortorella pulling his goal early. Don't bitch to me about regulation wins counting more. Please don't. Please don't fucking bitch to me about any of that crap, because it's not like the Caps had a royal road to the playoffs, okay? We didn't have any 1,000-goal scorer playing for us. We didn't have all of the luxuries all these other teams have. We didn't have a lot of calls go our way. We didn't have a 50-win season. No, that's true. But you know what we also did? You know what this team did? They never stopped playing.
Hashtag no quit Caps.
Exactly.
And I want to add to your list, if I can.
Do
Milano.
It.
There are Milano injuries that we had to deal with a couple of times.
Sonny Milano, who was clutch, almost as clutch as Strome was.
Yep.
And that's a good observation, because that was no small loss.
No.
Because they struggled with him out of the lineup.
Yep. Then I'm going to mention Sandin.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that. But yeah, Sandin goes down. Questionable hit. 4 or 5 games left in the season. Right. Not
my penalized. Tommy and his 6th game.
And that ridiculous thing that if his name was Chaim Gnipgenop, if his name was John Smith, if his name was Pierre Elliott Charles Fuckalot, I don't care. If he had another name, there is no way he gets suspended 6 games.
Oh, absolutely.
I will die on that hill. I don't care.
Absolutely. And that's another, like, all these against, and then finally all the fucking goalie drama, which that's in a whole other situation. And I don't even want to, you know, touch that. But yeah, the whole of, like, all the stuff against this team. And look, they rose to it. And I think they're just even like, whatever happens, happens. Like, let's fucking go. You know, like, let's just go. And right. And that's it. And that's where we're at right now. And let's just, you know, and we'll see how it goes tomorrow at 3. And it may be, you know, first game's not great, or it may be fantastic and we just ride the wave. We'll see. We've got hopefully not 7, but we have the opportunity to kick ass all the way through.
So if this gets back to any of the haters, yeah, and you think for a second that the Washington Capitals had it easy, that the frickin' league laid out a red carpet, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't happening. It didn't happen. And I just want to say one more thing about the Boston game. I love that the Caps turned the Bruins into a resemblance of a really bad Italian restaurant.
Okay.
Not a lot of pasta.
Not a lot of pasta. Okay. That sounded like one of your end of the podcast jokes. So.
Oh, I got one warming up. Trust me.
Oh shit. Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. Bella is more than welcome to.
Well, a UPS truck just pulled up out front. So. Let's go turn on Cujo mode and go crazy at the guy that stops at this house at least 3 times a day. Oh, yeah. All right. So we're good. Ready to.
We're definitely ready. This was just our neck of the woods as far as the whole NHL season. It was kick ass top to bottom, except for the goings on in Arizona, which we won't discuss too loudly.
Right.
Because
you don't need to.
We're not business experts. We're not administrators, but I feel badly. I'll say this. I feel badly for those and laugh all you want, but they had their fans, okay? And a lot of good people out there are getting screwed, and I'm gonna leave it at that. But despite that and other things, this was in without a doubt one of the best NHL seasons in recent memory. And before we get to a really quick preview of the series that the Caps are playing against the Rangers, yes, we haven't forgotten about you. One of the highlights of that was obviously Austin Matthews and his goal chase. And it's been said that he, if anybody, has probably the best chance to catch Ovechkin, assuming Ovechkin eventually breaks the record. And I don't really doubt that. But right. despite the fact that Austin Matthews is you know, had a great year, I find it ironic that he got stuck on 69.
Yeah, yes, I saw this joke the other day.
Saw what joke?
The same joke that he was stuck on 69.
What same joke?
You put it on the Facebook.
I haven't even
page. Told
it yet.
Well, then it was in the chat.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'm not done. But I mean, think about it. I kind of feel sorry. Put yourself in his position.
It would suck.
And put yourself in his position. I mean, stuck on 69.
I don't want to put my. Yeah. Did I ever tell you it's from my hometown?
I thought Austin Matthews was born in Arizona.
No, I grew up in San Ramon, California, and that is where he is from.
Oh, nice.
I know. But I still, you know, I admire him as a player, of course. Bummer about 69. I'm sure no one is letting him live that down in the locker room.
Well, I mean, think about it, though. If the roles were reversed, who would come out on top? Okay, look, I understand why am I talking about Austin Matthews? He did a great thing here. Let's not make that mistake. So I'm not just giving him lip service here.
Okay, so how long have you been sitting on all these jokes? You're on a roll.
That's just, I mean, his way of getting oral gratification, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It's the give and receive. Like, come on. It's how you play the game, right?
One-timer into the goal. Yep. I didn't realize I was the one setting you up.
We could do this all night.
I'm sure. Okay, you got me with that one. All right, so last little segment here. We get it. We're playing the President's Trophy winners, and they had a great season. They're led by a 49-goal scorer, a 100-point scorer in Artemi Panarin. They've got one of the best goalies in the league in Shesterkin, and he's got a backup that hasn't been too shabby himself in Jonathan Quick. We get all that, and they got one of the best defensemen in the league, Fox, blah, blah, blah. We get it. Nobody's given us a chance to win. Where have we heard this before? Nobody's giving the Caps a chance.
Right.
Where have we heard this before? Oh, I don't know. Early in the season, the middle of the season, 2 weeks ago, last week, 96 hours ago.
Yep.
Look, we're not stupid. We understand the odds, and they're pretty long odds. And realistically, yes, the Caps don't match up very well against this team on paper, but the games aren't played on paper. And I think everybody is discounting to their peril one thing. The Washington Capitals have been in playoff mode since at the earliest mid-February and at the latest end of March. Regardless, they have been in playoff mode for far longer than a lot of these other 15 teams have. And that puts them in the right headspace. That puts them in the right mode that you want to be in. I don't think the Rangers have had a game of any significance or consequence for at least 3 weeks. They had the playoffs wrapped up a while ago.
But that doesn't mean they're going to win.
And that doesn't mean they're going to win.
So that's that whole, then you sit back and get too comfortable because you're thinking, oh, well, we're just going up against the Caps. So round one is like, whatever, we've got this. No, you don't. And so that's where this is like, to me, all right, regular season, like we're done. And playoff mode is totally different thing. You have played your 82 games and you are exhausted, but you know what? Suck it up because here we go. And now it's even that much more intense and you have to be smarter and faster and, 110% and play the goddamn 60 minutes. Like there's no excuses. So I think, I look forward to it. I'm excited for this playoff. And I think that's just how the fans have to take it.
Well, one thing about being in playoff mode, it's all about finding a way to win the game.
Yeah.
And if it's one thing they've been very good at, it's doing that, finding a way to win the game. That's what being in playoff mode is all about. And they figured out, for the most part, how to get around all the adversity that we've mentioned before, lineup changes, droughts, scoring droughts, things like that, inconvenient things that happen to a hockey team, sometimes at the worst possible time. So if it's one check that's in the Caps column, fine, give that to us. Give that intangibles check to the Caps. I concede the fact that the Rangers are better in just about every other category. Fine. And yes, let's go ahead and restate the obvious fairly quickly. Charlie Lindgren is probably going to have to steal at least two or three games on his own. Guess what? He's worked like a dog and done that already so many times this year. So that's not going to be anything new to him. This is nothing new. This is nothing where they magically have to flip a switch and play like that. They've been doing this. He's been doing this. And yeah, it's one check on our side where we concede all of the others. But it's so big come the playoffs. It really is. Now, unfortunately, realistically, they're probably one or two injuries away from being a team that ought to be counted out of hand. But and that kind of thing has a way of rearing its ugly head in the playoffs. But, you know, you deal with it when it comes. And hopefully it won't come, but we'll see. And this was posted in the impromptu Robbie Gross Sports on the Hill podcast just after the clinch game, the final game. Well, I don't know if it's posted, but I put it out there that, look, even if the Caps get swept and they lose all of their games by no more than, say, 1 to 2 goals each, is that really a bad thing?
No, because they made it to the fucking playoffs.
Exactly.
So that's
which is over and above what they planned on doing this year anyway.
Right. Everyone counted them out. So let's just ride the happy wave and not play the what if game and the you know, what up. Just go with it. Just fucking go with it. Be a fan. Enjoy it. We weren't supposed to be here. We are. And let's have fun.
This is like riding a roller coaster and at the end getting another ticket to ride it all over again.
Yeah.
And only the ride is faster and more intense because it's the playoffs.
Yep.
Enjoy it. Buckle in, strap in, and enjoy it. Love it because it's going to be another year before it comes around again. But these young kids, Malenstein, McMichael, LaPierre, all of these guys at McElrath, that he's not a youngster, but he's got
Iorio,
all of these guys that are tasting NHL level playoffs for the very first time. It's worth it. They'll soak it in. They'll be the better for it. The team will be the better for it. So we'll be good. We'll be good for it, no matter how the series shakes out. And again, I get it. They're not supposed to win. Fine. Congratulations, Rangers. You beat a team you were supposed to beat in the playoffs. Congratulations. Who cares? We don't. We're fine with it. So that's where we're at. I wish I had more of an in-depth preview, but look, on paper, the numbers, yeah, we get it. There's not really much more to discuss. I don't have any analytics I can throw at you or anything like that. I just have intangibles, and the Caps have it in spades. That's where it's going to be won and lost, the board play. Oh, if anything, Tom Wilson has to be Tom Wilson. Not just saying that because of his history with the Rangers, because this game is going to come down to the physicality. This series, it's gonna. You watch. It will. It's going to get nasty, and it's going to get physical. I guarantee you. Tom's got to be one of those guys that leads. He has to, because I think this Rangers team is going to feel it. They're going to try to hit back and supplant their will, force their will on the Caps. And if that fails, that'll backfire on them. I think that's going to be the key to this series, if I have anything to offer. All right, so I think this is a good place to stop. So we got to wrap it up. Went a little long. My apologies. But again, enjoy the ride. We'll see you Monday night, Sports on the Hill, to track game one. Game two will be Tuesday night. And fortunately, we still have Joby Locker and their services. So awesome. Strap it in. Remember the hashtags. So we're gonna stop here for this episode. This is the Blue Liner on Point for the Mermaid Ananox, signing off and reminding you that you want to make a whole lot of the Caps' goal deficit? You think we don't know how to handle this crap? We in D.C. don't know how to handle deficits. D.C. has been dealing with deficits forever.
Truth.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.